May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen. Good morning. Welcome here. We are glad that you have come to join us this morning on a beautiful summer morning. Isn't it good that there's a day of rest? Just hopefully we can just blot the world out for a few hours here and just focus on God and His goodness. It's so important that we take this time to do. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. The last verse of the 1 Corinthians 15. Reads like this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The one word that I want you to remember this morning, when you time you leave, I'll have said it many times, and that's the word steadfast. Do you ever use that word steadfast in your ordinary speaking? Hardly, right? It's not a word that we use a lot. Yet it's in Scripture quite a bit. Steadfast. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. What does that word mean? Really, what that word means is unmovable. It says it right behind it. Steadfast, unmovable. Are you movable? Something comes into your life, do you move very easy? When I think of somebody who was unmovable, I always think of Daniel, and I think most of you will realize that Daniel, in Scripture, he was a guy or a man that was unmovable. It didn't matter the adversities that came toward him or whatever happened, he stood his ground. If we go to the book of Daniel just briefly, and this is what King Darius said about Daniel's God. We know that we're supposed to be steadfast. We know God is steadfast. And this is what Daniel chapter 6, verse 26. Darius made this statement. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. This is what King Darius said about Daniel's God, that God is steadfast. There's that word again. He is the living God. He is steadfast forever. Surely that statement reflects what Daniel had taught and what Daniel had shown King Darius about his God. The only reason why King Darius made that statement of God was because of Daniel. Because the way Daniel viewed God, so King Darius saw Daniel's God that way. Because King Darius really didn't know much about God. God could not be moved. He would be God forever, and God doesn't change. Daniel would always depend on God to be God. And he knew that his God would always be faithful to his promises. He knew that. You know that. I know that, right? God is steadfast. He is faithful. His power never fails. His love doesn't fail. His wisdom doesn't fail. His goodness never fails. It does not. God doesn't change. So Daniel always lived in the shadow of that great rock, that wonderful, immovable God. When the whole world seems like it's going crazy, God is immovable. Steadfast. And I believe God longs for us, his people, to be that same way. If we are steadfast, we can proclaim a steadfast God to what I would call a topsy-turvy world that we're living in today. So I have basically 4 points this morning that I want to share with you. things that I believe where we can be more steadfast are things that we should try to. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. How to avoid being eaten is a subject that most of us don't give much thought to, right? Do you ever think that somebody is going to come eat you? You ever think of that? People living in the jungles of Africa, you might say, right? They might have to worry about that, right? But not for us here. We don't have to think of us getting eaten, do we? Wrong. We are wrong. People, regardless of where we live, need to learn how to avoid being eaten. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, maybe I haven't got the total correct translation of being eaten, but devour means that he wants to take you in. He wants to take care of you. That's what that word means. He wants to swallow you. Then he says in verse 9, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Satan wants to eat you. Yeah. He really does. He wants to destroy you and me. The first area where we need steadfastness is in the area of Satan's attacks. Satan's coming after you. And if you haven't noticed it yet, well, he will. You will. Satan's coming after you. And he comes in so many different ways. It can be through, it could actually be through God's word he can come to you. He'll misuse that too. Satan is coming after you. In warfare, when the evil one attacks and tempts us, we are supposed to resist him steadfastly. That's the only way we're going to be, or can be avoided by being devoured by him, swallowed up by him. There's actually two important insights revealed in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, which will help us a little bit, I think. First, Satan is an intimidator. You get that? He's an intimidator. He roars. Why? Try to frighten you. I did this when I grew up. I think I've apologized to my sisters, but sometimes when you wanted to scare them, hope you never did this, they'd come around a corner somewhere and you knew they were coming and you'd just stand there and you had them, right? Some of you must have had it happen to you. And that's what Satan does. And when he does that, he knows that when you're scared like that, you're vulnerable. He's got you. We become very easy to capture. And this passage specifically mentions afflictions as a manner in which Satan roars. And he was attempting to frighten those early Christians through persecution. That's what he was trying to do. And then he would render them easy victims for spiritual defeat. And if we are to resist Satan effectively, we have to resist the efforts he makes to scare us. We have to claim Psalm 27, verse 1. Just turn back there. Beautiful verse, Psalm 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And then listen to this. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We do not have to be scared of Satan. The Lord is our light. He is our salvation. So we need to disregard Satan's roars, because we are protected by somebody much mightier than what Satan is. Second thing out of these verses, Satan is likened, what? To a savage beast or roaring lion. Savage beast, many different words you could use here. He stalks his prey. And it's the reason why he stalks it is to devour it. Not just to injure it. He doesn't just want to injure you. He wants to devour you, and we see it happening all the time. And I don't know why, but it does. It shouldn't, but it does. He wants to see your Christian life shipwrecked. That's what he wants. If he can completely ruin your testimony, my testimony that we have in Christ, he'll have won. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to sit back, and he's going to laugh, because he's going to say, ha, got him. That's where he gets his satisfaction. And we don't want to underestimate Satan's powers. He is not almighty, but he is still powerful. And we don't want to, as believers, don't want to underestimate Satan's desires toward us. He has a very, very powerful appetite, and he wants to harm us, you and me. And we need to be careful that we don't flirt with that monster. But we also need to remember that nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to flee from him. It does not say that. The Bible admonishes us to resist him. And then we have the promise, Satan will flee from us. And if you want to turn to James 4, I'll just read James 4, verse 7. Just back a little bit from 1 Peter. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you need to remember that. If you resist him, he has to flee. He doesn't tell us to flee from him, no. Satan has to flee from us. That's God's word. My second point is this: steadfastness in work. The second area of steadfastness comes straight from our text. Christians, we are supposed to be steadfast in doing the work of the Lord. It doesn't say you always have to keep doing the same thing. And it doesn't always say he's going to use you in the same place. But he says you always have to keep abounding in the work of the Lord. It is interesting, this verse is actually not addressed to church leadership. It's actually addressed to the brethren. Really, we could say to the congregation. The Lord, I think, delights in seeing busy people. And if I was going to ask you here today, most of you would say, we're busy, right? Oh, life is so busy. And that's good. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We're all busy. But do you notice one thing? You always got time for things you really want to do. Notice that? I do. Just the way it is. If I say I want to go fishing that in that time, usually I can make the time to go fishing. You know why? Because we make time. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with planning, so you have time for this, so that you can do these. That's all good. But the Lord also wants to make sure we keep doing his work. We're supposed to keep working for the Lord, even though we're working other places. We need to keep doing the work of the Lord. We can't just always just do other stuff. Everything works together. So I want you to remember that. Keep working for the Lord, wherever. Maybe not the same place, but you keep working. It might be at work. It might be anywhere. It might be the way you've changed. Whatever. Keep working. My third point is this. Be steadfast in worship. I want you to turn to Psalm 145, 1 and 2. Psalm 145, 1 and 2. God seeks people to worship him in spirit and in truth. But it doesn't end there. Psalm 145, 1 and 2. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Here we read what pleases God in worship. God wants daily praise from us. Determination to praise God every day is a form of steadfastness that I believe we need to learn. But before you can praise God every day, you need to spend some time focusing on God's goodness, on God's blessings. If you do not look at God's goodness and his blessings every day, you know what you're going to do? You're going to complain. The psalmist said, every day will I bless thee. Really? Every day? I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Now that's wonderful. But when the psalmist said that, don't you think he knew that there are going to be some hard days ahead? He knew that. There are days that are not as bright as others, should I say. I don't want to say dark days, but there are, might be those two. There just are. Not every day when you wake up is a good day. It just happens that way. But here the psalmist said, every day will I praise you. If you are a Christian who gets up in the morning and you can praise God every day, I'd say you're above most Christians. Because praising God every day is not easy. If you can rise above the pain and suffering of every day and all the work things that you deal with and all the other things that come at you, and if you can praise God above that every day, you're above most Christians. Because that takes effort. That takes being in God's will. That takes reading. That takes just total commitment. That takes steadfastness. Then you are a little bit like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Steadfast praise is based on the foundation of trust. Trust in God that he has the right direction for our lives. And I want you as couples, I'm going to give you a bit of a challenge. Tomorrow morning when you get up, I want you both to praise God. And the first person that complains, I want you to remind the other one, okay, what are we doing? Just watch yourselves. It doesn't take long, and we get into a mode of complaining. I know there's bad things around us. We realize that. But praising God, we live above that, right? So just try that. Just try to start your day and encouraging one another to praise God. Jeremiah could do that. If you turn to Lamentations, Jeremiah could do that. One of the greatest expressions of praise found in scriptures is Lamentations 3, verse 23. I'll start at verse 22. This is what Jeremiah said. And Jeremiah said this when his heart was totally broken. It was broken over the captivity of his people, the destruction of Jerusalem. And this is what he said. It is of the Lord's mercy, Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. They're new every morning. Don't forget that. Every morning they are new. Every day they are new. If Jeremiah could do that when it was so dark, surely you and I can do that too. One last thing about Psalm 145 there. Last part of verse 2. I will, every day will I bless thee. 145 verse 2. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name. Now listen to this. Forever and ever. His heart was on his relationship with God throughout the endless ages of eternity. And that's probably the greatest inspiration for steadfast praise that you can get. Anticipating our eternal joy in Christ. That should brighten any day, doesn't matter how dark it is. It should. Some of us pastors, we spend some time at the care home every week, every other week, or whenever we go there. And you know, these people, they haven't maybe got much to look forward to, and sometimes they having a hard day. Some of you work in care homes. And you know, I don't spend 1 minute with them and tell them, you know what, but in eternal Christ there is joy knowing where you're going to go, and oh, everything changes, right? It just totally changes. Why? Because they have a beautiful future to look forward to. We have a future like none. Like nobody else has. So if nothing else brightens your day, try to think of eternity, how beautiful it will be. To walk the streets of gold with your heavenly Father for someone who has died for you. Yeah, we can't even imagine how beautiful it will be. But even here on this earth, it should give us joy. God is seeking people to worship him in spirit and truth and in steadfastness. Last point comes with Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now the context of this verse deals with sowing to the Spirit, verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then he ends like this, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Therefore, well-doing here includes probably all yielding to the Spirit in our lives, and it would cover every form of well-doing in the will of God. We need to be steadfast in doing that which is good in God's eyes. God promises what? An eventual harvest to the one who will not be overcome by weariness. A person who refuses to faint can be sure or confident that much good will result from his faithfulness and well-doing. And you know, if we always saw results immediately when you do good and you see results, that encourages us, right? That does. And it should. It inspires us to go on. But you know what? Very often when you do good, there's no good consequences. It seems to not help anything. You ever find that? You're trying to be as good as you can, as doing the best you can, and where am I getting? But you know what? We can't base it on that. And you know what? Sometimes even when we do good, Sometimes even then, it seems like it gets worse. Does that happen to you? And so because we get tired and we get worn and we can't see any results, we say, ugh, help manush. Doesn't help me anything. You ever been there? In Revelation 2, verse 3, I won't turn there, but the Lord commended a church for their steadfastness. The Ephesian Christians there, they paid a price to serve the Lord. You know why? Because they were a steadfast assembly. So even though our well-doing, even when you're trying your best, you're doing the best you can, never accomplishes one thing. It's still the way to go. You know why? Because it brings pleasure to our Lord. The most important thing in life is simply being what God wants you to be where you are. And that cannot be done if we faint in well-doing. And many people do. Sorry to say that. We need to start well, but we also want to finish well. We have all kinds of illustrations in Scripture, but starting well, maybe not finishing as good. King David started so well. He was such a young man, such a little boy, and yet he had fearless man. He had trust in God. He killed big Goliath. He was gifted. He was a poet. He was a musician and an author. As a matter of fact, the prophet Samuel referred to him as a man after God's own heart. He started so well. I don't know if any of the scriptures started better. And in many ways, he was a great king. Yet there are so many times he faltered. He was so much like we are. We falter. But he imitated the heathens. He married many wives, committed adultery with Bathsheba, killed her husband. And David's last years weren't any better. He struggled at the end. And my prayer is that we start well, but we also want to finish well. We've got to finish well. One who didn't start very good but finished well, that's the Apostle Paul. He didn't start very good, but he finished well. And after the Lord appeared to him on that road, it was always, Lord, what do you want me to do? It wasn't, Lord, I want to do this, I want to do that. It was, Lord, what do you want me to do? I always think he finished well. Finally, at the end, if you turn to 2 Timothy, rested and placed in a dungeon, under the sentence of death, knowing his end was near, this is what he wrote in 2 Timothy 4. We know these verses very well. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Let's start at verse 6. For I am not ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And then he says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Beautiful, isn't it? He says, I have fought a good fight. Did you know what life is a fight? There are times, isn't it? And you know what? Our appointment at the judgment, it's going to be an awesome event. I look forward to that day, and we're supposed to look forward to that day. Not to my failures, but that Christ covered those, but we're supposed to look forward to that day as an awesome event. And I want to encourage you today, don't take it lightly. Anticipate meeting the Lord eagerly. We should be able to live that we look forward to meeting him. Live like we want to meet him. It's going to be a crowning day, is what it says. And it's going to bring us face to face with the Savior that died for us. Face to face, we will see him. And the Apostle Paul looked forward to that event as the occasion on which he had received what? The crown of righteousness. Really what that is a reward reserved for all those who love his appearing. If you're not looking forward to his appearing today, we need to get ready. To those who have completed the Christian race with a clean life, God has forgiven your past. You're living a clean life. Finish the race with integrity. Eyes on the coming Lord, we look forward to that day. It is the reward for fulfilling the ministry that God has given to you. Whatever that is what that reward is all about. It's for everybody. The reward for finishing well. So I want to say to you as I close this morning, hang in there. Hang in there. If you're looking for meaning and satisfaction in life, hang in there. Never give up. Let God take you where he wants you. Be steadfast. Don't wave with all the ways of the world, or even scripture, the way it's getting misused today. Don't wave with that. Steadfastness is what God wants from us. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we pray that you would make us steadfast, unmovable, standing on your word, Lord, on the truth. Help us, Lord God, not to turn. You're unmovable. You don't change. Your word doesn't change. And so, Father, this morning I pray for each one that is here. Help us, Lord, to remember that Satan wants to devour us, but you are almighty. Father, we pray that we would come and worship and just be able to worship you in spirit and truth. Always abounding in your work, and help us, Lord God, to stand firm on your word. Thank you for this morning and for your word today. In your name.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor your word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers we plead.
There are showers of blessing all around us, aren't they? You don't have to look very far either. Thank you for leading us in those songs. I'm going to ask David and Justina to go to the back. Maybe I'll pick them up, Frank and Marge and Tina and myself. We'll walk to the back with them. So just stay seated. I'll get the ushers to usher you out. That way, makes it simpler. Thank you for coming this morning. Remember, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you know what? Your labor will not be in vain. That's what the promise is. May God bless you today. Thank you for being here. Shall we bow for a benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May that peace be with you. God bless you.